Hanover Square Press and Harper Audio present The Framed Women of Ardmore House, a novel by Brandi Scalace, performed by Lindsay Dorcas. To Mark, for celebrating all my various selves and joining each new special interest with enthusiasm. 1. The house was enormous. Joe didn't know enough about local architecture to date it, but the walls stretched up in the damp air, big and dark and lichen-flecked. Windows had been boarded up. They wept black mildew creases over sandstone sills. Staring through the car window, Joe dropped her eyes down to the stairs, flanked by columns, where Joe imagined regal statues might have stood. Or ought to have stood. "It's a castle," she whispered.
"It is most certainly not a castle," said Rupert Selkirk,
solicitor of Selkirk and Associates, in the driver's seat beside her.
"Not even the largest house in Abington."
Solicitor. Jo rolled the word around in her mouth. She'd pocket it for later rumination. It was nice to have a word for chewing on. It suggested antique leather chairs and brass lampstands, felt safer than divorce lawyer, and didn't trigger the same sort of gut gripe. Rupert looked exactly as a solicitor ought to, with a high forehead, disappearing hairline, and two very bushy eyebrows. He also drove a puddle green sedan, with the steering wheel on the wrong side of Joe's expectations. She wondered if the sense of dislocation would fade with the jet lag. It hadn't exactly improved her first impressions. She forgot to introduce herself, forgot the handshake, stared in absolute stunned silence at the landscape as they drove. Online pictures had suggested something endlessly green, but the reality was wet and ragged, browned out from the end of winter, and laced at the edges with naked tree branches. Joe squinted into the distance, taking in the brackish heath, then trees, then fog. A cluster of trees appeared, lanky pin oaks and a few copper beeches. A crumbling, dry stone wall snaked away from decayed posts. No fence, but the remnants of one. She let her eyes wander its length to a dark smudge of woodland and black bark dotted with lichen. The rest of the hill loomed treeless, stark, and scarred by eruptions of additional stone. Moors, she thought. Endless and rolling, with dry heather and wet peat. Joe had pressed herself to the glass, ignoring the steam print she made. She hadn't brought much with her, certainly not her books, but Wuthering Heights might have been a good choice. Relaxation breathing had never been much use to her. Whenever she consciously thought about autonomic responses, they went all wrong. So, she mentally recited the opening lines of the novel as the car grumbled to a halt in the shadow of Ardmore House. As for Rupert, he was repeating himself.
"Not a castle. The house is wider than it is deep, mostly to take advantage of the south facing aspect."
Seeing the blank look on Joe's face, he tried again.
"In England, south face and gardens get the most sun. That's where you'll find the Ardmore Gardens. They were the highlight of the property once. Overgrown now, I'm afraid."
Rupert swept his hand across the horizon as if bisecting it.
"Everything east of here is rented for grazing and livestock. There is also, as you know, the cottage. It helps defray the tax burden."
Tax burden. She might want to hold on to those words, too.
"Emery Lane, my assistant, will be drawing up papers while we walk the property," he said.
Joe was starting to run out of processing space internally. She felt a hiccup of emotion and press-ganged it into a smile. "Papers?"
"For you to sign, to take over the property as your inheritance."
The smile failed. Better say something like, "Yes, good. Quite. Exactly the thing." But Rupert got there first.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?